the disconnect is with most of Christianity is that they may preach a Bible message and what they say may be biblically correct, but here's where most Bible preaching, or if you want to call it that, most preaching, here's where most of it falls short. And that is that there is no application. Because that's where the Bible hits home. That's where it gets real, is when a preacher will apply it to your life, where you live today. And that's what's wrong with most preaching today, is there's no application. All right, and that's what makes it effective. That's what makes it more real than tomorrow's newspaper, more up to date, more current than tomorrow's newspaper. We need application to the Word of God. That's what helps God's people, by the way, is the Word of God being applied to their life. Not just knowing a Bible story, knowing the knowledge of the Bible, the facts of the Bible. Those are good things to know. We want to learn those things. We want to know those things. But why? So it can change the way we live. And what does that is when you apply it to your life. That's where conviction sets in. See, we can even look in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, Peter's sermon to the Jews there on the day of Pentecost. And when did they start asking about salvation? After he said, you murdered him. That's the application. You were the ones that did this. He was prophesied about, and you all murdered him. They said, well, what must we do to be saved? Okay, think back to Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is testifying. When do they want to kill him? When do they run up to him and start gnawing on him with their teeth? When he says, you murdered him. Amen. That's the application of the Word of God. And that's where you're going to help people. That's what we want to do. So what I will often do around here is we will look at current events in light of what the Bible says. And to me, something that is at the forefront right now of things that are going on is the liberties that we are losing. See, there's a shift in the thinking in America. Okay, and what the world is going to call it is Western civilization. Okay, that's the mindset we're talking about. But really, it's an American mindset that has spread throughout Western civilization. And what that is that is rooted in Baptists' fight for liberty. Amen. That's where that's rooted in. And it's rooted in the liberty of conscience. Okay, that means a person can think what they want. Government doesn't get to tell you, or anybody, another religion doesn't get to tell you what you can and can't think. Now, it doesn't mean that another religion can't tell you this is what you should think based on whatever their beliefs are. It doesn't even matter. Whatever their beliefs are, it doesn't mean, because that's why we have the freedom of speech. Okay, and that's why when, again, anytime they label something hate speech, that's already unconstitutional. Amen. To call anything hate speech is unconstitutional, because what they're doing now is they're saying that if we preach just what the Bible says, it's hate speech. So they're trying to stop what we're speaking, what we're saying. But the whole point of the First Amendment is because people with other beliefs is now we can share beliefs with one another. And if your principles are right, then you can convince me to believe like you do. Now, here's where they step past a line is when they say, when they pull out a sword or a gun and say, you have to believe like this. No, they've stepped past a line. Amen. They're not allowed to do that. But again, all this is rooted in our liberty of conscience, meaning that each person is going to die one day and they're going to stand before their Creator, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And not one other person in this building, in this world, can stand before God and answer for me but me. No one is going to answer to God for me but me. Even if it doesn't matter who it is, it doesn't matter if it's the President of the United States comes and he commands me to do something that's unbiblical. And then say that I refuse to do it, and then I go to jail and they martyr me or whatever. I'm just giving an example of it. Okay? I'm the one that's going to answer for God for what I chose to do. They will answer to God for what they've chosen to do. And because of that, that's where our liberty of conscience comes in, because God has given that to each and every person. God doesn't make us all just believe Him and know about Him and all those things that we'd say, you're just born a Christian. No, He doesn't do that. He lets us choose through facts, through the presentation of the gospel, the preaching of the cross. That's how it is. That's why free speech is so important, that we can say what we believe the Bible teaches. But because I will stand and answer to God for myself, I have the liberty of conscience to make that choice, and no one can make those choices for me. So we don't get to tell somebody else what to think or how to think. That's why government's job, and again, I want us to all understand this, is to protect life, liberty, property, and to stay out of my conscience. Those four things: protect my life, protect my liberty, protect my property, and stay out of my conscience. And that's the two tables of the law.
Amen.
Are found in those principles that I just stated in America. And you read through the founding documents and stuff, and you'll see those principles throughout. Once you understand it, you'll be like, there it is. Oh, I see. They're separating them. They're separating the first table from the second table. The first table deals with my conscience. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. You don't get to tell somebody what god they worship. That's the liberty of conscience. You get to choose that. Okay, and then the part of protecting my life, liberty, and property, that goes to the second table. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, that's the second table. By the way, it's adultery because you're stealing somebody's property. That's what adultery is. You're stealing someone else's property. Okay, 2 Corinthians talks about it, that you don't belong to yourself. Husbands, your body's for your wife. Wife, your body's for your husband. You're one flesh. You're stealing someone's property when you commit adultery. All right, that's the second table of the law. So those things are distinguished in the Word of God. There's a separation there. And we need to understand that. And our government is infringing on our liberty of conscience, what we can and can't believe. They're already doing it in Canada. We're seeing laws passed here in America that infringe on our conscience, saying what you believe, what you're saying is hate speech. And here's how it starts. Keep that inside the church walls. You can't come out here and say it. You can believe what you want, but you can't come out here and say it. And it just gets more and more oppressive. Please, if you think I'm just some nut that doesn't know what I'm talking about, then you need to read some history.
Amen.
And it doesn't have to be far back. I mean, just look at things that have happened in other countries. It always gets more and more oppressive. Less and less liberties. And it's always in the name of safety. So I like when I can bring something to us that is positive, and I want to read us something that I came across here. And it's the court says cops can't stop and frisk armed citizens. The Firearm Policy Coalition on Friday issued a statement praising a ruling from the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court that overturned a precedent that allowed police to stop and frisk individuals based on the fact that they were carrying a firearm and thus presumably potentially dangerous. Okay, so they overturned that. That's a good thing, by the way.
Amen.
If you don't think that's a good thing, you don't understand the principles of liberty. And I'm not trying to be mean to you, but you truly don't understand the principles of liberty if you don't understand that. You don't understand why we had the Bill of Rights, why we have it, why it was put in place, what protections it's for. And here's something that every citizen in America needs to understand, that look here, some people would say, I know preachers that would tell me, you shouldn't be talking about any of this from the pulpit. I'm like, well, that's just a whole other issue right there, that it's frustrating to me that this is where education has gotten, and this is what preachers even think, that something like that is okay. But you truly do not understand the principles of liberty if you think that what I just read is wrong.
Amen.
And you say, what does that have to do with the gospel? Because my right to keep and bear arms, and my right to not be illegally searched and seized, an illegal search and seizure, okay? Those other parts of the Bill of Rights protect the first one, which is the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. Without these, they all go down.
That's right.
So it's important we understand these truths. This is an excellent thing. Okay, now, I'm going to give you an analogy that is in recent history that will bring this to light. But a stop and frisk is essentially the same thing. It's not essentially, it is the same thing as the Nazis coming and saying, where are your papers?
Amen.
It's the same thing. And look, now here's where people get all messed up because they don't understand. If you want to live in a free society, and you have to understand this, if you right now want to live in a free society, you have to understand this, that there will always be an element of danger in a free society.
That's right.
Always. Now, you could say, we need more gun control. Okay, let's get more gun control. Let's look at how that has worked in other places. Let's go to England, the UK. Let's see how it's worked out over there for them. Well, that didn't work. Guess what? They took away the guns and the knife attacks went up. So now guess what they want to do? Yep. Knife control. And that's no joke. I'm not joking. They want to take away knives from people. Well, can I not cut a steak now? Seriously. I mean, can I not have a pencil? I mean, I can stab somebody in the neck with a pencil. We're not allowed to have those pens. Do you see how dumb this is? How dumb it gets? So where do we draw the line? See, there's always going to be an element of danger if you have true liberty. That will always exist. And I would rather have dangerous liberty than peaceful tyranny. And I'm paraphrasing. I think it was Thomas Jefferson that said something similar to that. I believe it was him. I could be wrong on that. Was it? Okay. I'd rather have, paraphrasing again, but I'd rather have dangerous liberty than peaceful tyranny. Was it Patrick Henry? It was one of those guys. Anyway, it doesn't matter who said it. If no one else said it, I said it. All right. Who cares? But the principle is the same. All right. That there is that element to having true liberty. And we have to understand that because guess what? Let's take away all the guns. What about knives? What about bats? What about crowbars? What about a vehicle? I mean, we've seen that where people, I mean, I saw it in Jerusalem where they went and a guy tried to run over a bunch of Jews with a van. What about that? What about airplanes? What about a box cutter? I mean, see, there's always going to be an element of danger if we have true liberty. But guess what? The police average on the good side is 5 minutes they get to you if you make a call. The bad side, it's upwards of 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. See, and we can't blame the police for that either. We cannot blame them for the way crime is, because all police can do is respond to crime. They don't know it's going to happen any better than you do.
Right.
All they can do is respond after it's happened. And we don't each have an armed guard following us around to protect us. So the first responder in your life is you.
Amen.
Not your dad. It's you. Okay? It's not your dad. It's you. You're the first responder in your life. Now, yes, your dad should protect you. But your dad doesn't go everywhere you go, does he? You're your first responder. You have to protect yourself. So we have to understand that that element is there. Let me continue reading this, all right? The court's ruling said the government may not target and seize specific individuals without any particular suspicion of wrongdoing, then force them to prove that they are not committing crimes. Okay, we're innocent until proven guilty in our court system, not the other way around. But that's essentially what they're doing. They're saying, you're guilty, prove you're not. And that's the line of thinking that people have at a DWI checkpoint.
Yep.
I'm not for drunk driving. I'm not for drinking. I don't think anybody should drink. The Bible teaches that.
Amen.
Okay, I don't think you should drink. But a DWI checkpoint says you're guilty, prove you're not.
Yep.
That violates the Fourth Amendment. I don't care what courts say about it. No, it doesn't violate. Yes, it does. Just read what the Fourth Amendment says.
Right.
We get one tyrannical judge, and that's all it takes.
Amen.
Now, I know I'm reading you a court ruling, but we the people need to understand these principles so we can say that's nonsense what that judge says. That's not what this is saying. The Fourth Amendment says they need to have probable cause to search or seize anything from you. And that's what this fits with as well right here, stop and frisk. It's you're guilty, prove you're not. No, if you think I'm guilty, prove that I am, and you'd better have probable cause to come and even talk to me. I haven't done anything wrong for you to come here. Nothing. Just the presence of a gun does not make you guilty of a crime. We have to understand that. But we're being conditioned in this nation to think that just somebody that has a gun is evil. What about the police? Can we stop and frisk them? See, the ones that swear to uphold the Constitution are the ones violating it.
Amen.
And that's just what's happening. And the reasoning is, well, my boss told me to. Well, then you all ought to throw your boss out.
Amen.
That's what ought to happen. All these senators and whatnot, and even presidential candidates that swear an oath to uphold the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, they're the domestic terrorists.
Amen.
Okay, that they talk about. They call soldiers returning from war domestic terrorists. Yeah, that's been put out there, Department of Justice. They're calling them domestic terrorists. Who's the ones that are attacking the Constitution? Again, I'm just telling you, just go read the Declaration of Independence. Just go read it yourself and tell me if the nation that we live in, if you're paying attention to what's going on in our nation, tell me if the nation that we live in, if our founding fathers would have put up with the nation we've got right now. I'll answer it for you right now. They wouldn't have, because they didn't. The tyranny we put up with today is far worse than what they were putting up with. As far as a violation of, here's another word for you, natural rights. Natural rights. Our founding fathers worded it like this, that there are certain inalienable rights given to us by our Creator. That means it's not by birthright of being an American citizen I have these rights. It's by birthright of the fact that I am born, I have these rights. They're inalienable, and they're given to us by our Creator. That means they don't change. Okay, that's what that means, is they don't change. Why? Because God gave them to us. God gave each of us a right to defend ourselves. All right, private property. You say, where's that found? Go to the two tables of the law. Thou shalt not steal. That right there implies private property.
Amen.
That means you're taking something from what belongs to somebody else. That in and of itself implies private property. God understood this. There's certain inalienable rights, and we have the right to defend our lives. Now, government's purpose in that is to protect from evil, to bring, in Romans 13, it's to punish the evildoers. That's what they're there for. So all this crime that's going on, why is it happening? It's because we're not punishing evildoers. We were just discussing this last night. I'm not for rape, but I know a man who spent 42 years of his life in prison for raping a girl. If he might not have even done it. Now, I'm not putting it past the man. I know him. He's dead now, but he spent 42 years of his life in prison for rape. You know, maybe he should have. But in that time, he saw murderers come in and come out, come in and come out, come in and come out. I used to work with a man, murdered somebody, spent 7 years in prison, got out. Took another person's life and got out. You know, the Bible says that person ought to be executed. That's what should happen to that person. So why is crime running amok? How come you got all these people? I got my friend, you probably remember them, Veronica Garcia, Alan Garcia, me and him were good friends for a long time. And his daughter was shot and killed in a road rage incident in 2015. Made national news. I think it even went internationally. I don't know. I know it made national news. And what, that guy should have been in jail already for the other crimes he'd committed. And even at that, I think he got 9 years. 9 years, took a person's life and he got 9 years. He should have gotten executed. And that guarantees he'll never do that again. You know what that tells everybody else out here? Better not kill somebody, because your life's gone. See, government's job is to protect us from the evildoers. Why? So we can live quiet and peaceable lives.
Amen.
That's why. That's what government's job is. And government has stopped doing that. And they've turned tyrannical, in my opinion. Amen. And this, the fact that most police think that stop and frisk is okay is proof of that. We have to understand these principles so we can argue these points with people, with family members, with coworkers, with other people we know. See, just because someone's a police officer doesn't mean they're always right. It also doesn't mean they're always wrong either. There's some people that believe that as well.
Right.
But just because they have been given some authority doesn't mean they have all authority. Right? And they don't get to do what they want. They're not a law unto themselves. So the case, Hicks's position, is supported by several amici curiae, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, including members of the Pennsylvania General Assembly, Firearm Owners Against Crime, the Firearms Policy Coalition, and the Firearms Policy Foundation. Hicks amici argue that the prior precedent, which is the first ruling, is contrary to this court's precedent and to the general teachings of the Supreme Court of the United States Fourth Amendment jurisprudence. So it violates the Fourth Amendment is what they're saying. Amici further point to numerous decisions of the courts of other states and federal appellate courts that have addressed the specific question at issue here and which have held that mere possession of a concealed firearm provides no basis for an investigative detention, the opinion stated. Stop and frisk practices that harass gun owners who carry for lawful purposes, including self-defense, like the one at the core of this case, are unconstitutional, bad public policy, and dangerous, said FPC President Brandon Combs. He also said, we are thrilled that the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania agreed with these fundamental principles and issued such an incredibly positive decision in favor of constitutional rights. Further down, at issue was a disagreement over whether someone's decision to carry a firearm could be used as reasonable suspicion of criminal conduct. That would then justify police actions, including stop and frisk of the gun owner for nothing other than having the weapon. The case was Pennsylvania v. Michael Hicks, and the court found that stop and frisk, so this was the first court before it went to the Supreme Court, and the court found that stop and frisk practices are important because they maintain a balance between privacy interests and law enforcement needs. Privacy interests and law enforcement needs, because the law officers have to feel safe. Okay, we want to live in a free society. There's an element of danger there. And I'm going to say this again, and some people get upset with this. I don't care if you're a soldier, if you're a police officer. You chose to enter that profession.
Amen.
That was your choice. Everyone knows you're going to be a police officer. It's going to be dangerous, especially if you live in a major city. You know it's going to be dangerous. Okay, so that's just part of the job. But you don't get to violate people's inalienable rights so you can feel safe. We don't get to do that. Okay, that's not okay. At what point do we draw the line then? Where do we say, you can violate them here, but not here? No, you just don't get to violate them. But then that means it's dangerous for those officers out there. Yes, it sure is.
Amen.
So the circle's coming around. So here, you better punish criminals then. And I understand the police officers, because I know several police officers, and they get frustrated arresting the same people 10 times for the same crimes. I mean, I have sympathy with them. I do understand that. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. But this is why it's important who we elect as judges.
Amen.
This is why it's important we vote. I'm telling you, we have the choice. Some people, well, all the elections are rigged. Not all of them. Give me a break. Not every election is rigged. Most of the time, people don't get out and say something, have an opinion about it. And we need people who believe like we do to start running for office. I mean, that's what's needed. We want to see change, then get in there and stand godly and don't compromise things. Stop compromising like all these politicians get in and do. Stand your ground. If you lose office next time, you lose office. Who cares? You stood for right. And that's what we need. We need people who will do that. So here's the article. I'll leave it here. If you want to check it out, you can read it for yourself. It's right there. Anyone can grab it, take it, read it, leave it, whatever you want. But I did want to share that. Well, that's a victory right there, because we have a Supreme Court, a state Supreme Court, recognizing the Fourth Amendment is still what it should be. Police officers do not have the right, just because someone sees a gun, to stop you, frisk you, and you have to prove you're innocent. That's the same thing that's wrong with what the laws that were passed in New Mexico. I get confused on which ones even got passed, but I think it on the red flag gun laws. That one got shot down in the last legislative session, but it was close to passing. But that's what's wrong with a red flag gun law. All you have to do is you got to have a neighbor get mad at you because whatever, your trash blew in their yard, your leaves blew in their yard, your dog's barking, and all they got to do is know that you have guns and be like, hey, my neighbor has guns and I saw him out here yelling and screaming the other day. Doesn't even have to be true. And the red flag gun laws say they get to come into your house, confiscate your weapons. You're not guilty of anything. You haven't committed any crime. You haven't done anything wrong. And we have people in this state, our representatives in this state, that tried to pass that nonsense. And I'm telling you, it's already happened in other states. When we were battling this out here in New Mexico, In Texas, a man shot a police officer and they killed him over red flag gun laws. I'm just telling you, there's consequences to it. They're coming, you haven't done anything wrong, and they're coming to take your weapons. You haven't done anything wrong, they're coming to take your children. Whatever, doesn't matter what it is. They're coming into your house based off of what? A violation of the Fourth Amendment. It's an illegal search and seizure. What do you have to hide? Whatever I want to.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I have nothing to hide, but you still don't get to bust in my door and search what I have.
Right.
It's the same thing on my person. It doesn't matter what I have on me. You don't get to search me.
Amen.
What crime am I being, you know, suspected of here? Do you suspect me of a crime? Have I done something? Then there's probable cause. Okay? I mean, if you're walking down the street and you reach to grab something out of your pocket and a little baggie rolled with white powder in it falls out and a police officer sees that, now they have probable cause. Now they can search you. Because what is this? This looks like drugs. Hey, buddy, stop. Now they can search you. Now they have a legitimate reason for it. But if you're walking down the street with drugs in your pocket all day long, they can't stop you. Just because they know you're a drug dealer, they don't get to do that.
Right.
You're like, what? You're for drug dealers? Of course I'm not. But if we allow it for the drug dealers, then why can't they do it against me? Because
right.
They don't know if I'm a drug dealer or not. I might be. So there. Show me your papers. You see, that's right. Do you have your ID? They don't get to do that either. I want us to understand liberty here. And it applies across the board, even with people we don't agree with.
Amen.
We got to understand that's part of liberty.
Amen.
I'm not for drunkards. I'm not for drug dealers. I'm not for any of that. But if we could take their rights, then mine are gone too. Okay, that's how it works. I got to defend the person's right who I don't agree with so I can keep mine. I don't agree with Jews. I don't agree with Mormons. I don't agree with Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't agree with Catholics.
Amen.
I don't agree with Protestants.
Amen.
But I will fight for them to believe what they want.
Amen.
Because if they can't believe what they want, then who's to say when things change, I can't believe what I want? That's liberty. And that's what must be defended. Our Baptist forefathers understood that at the founding of this nation. You know where the first Jewish synagogue was in America? Providence, Rhode Island. Why? Because they had liberty there. They had true liberty, thanks to the Baptists. Roger Williams and John Clark. Okay, John Clark spent, I think, 14 years over there in England getting a charter from the King of England to found Rhode Island, to establish it, and they established it with religious liberty. They didn't agree with Jews believing what they did. They've rejected their Messiah. They've rejected him. They're missing it. They're not saved. But he said, if you want to believe that, you can come do it here, because you're going to stand before God and answer for yourself. That's liberty. I mean, people I don't agree with can believe what they want.
Amen.
Now, you want to come in here? It's a whole other matter. It's a whole other matter. But out there, anyone, you believe what you want. And we got to stop getting our feelings hurt. And I don't think most people in here do, but we've got to stop getting our feelings hurt because someone disagrees with us.
Amen.
I mean, I'm dead serious when I tell you all this. I think most of the time you think I'm joking about it, but I'm like, look, if someone disagrees with me, I'm like, fine. If you want to be wrong, go ahead. And I'm okay with them thinking I'm wrong. It doesn't bother me. Seriously, it doesn't. I want to sway you to my side, but hey, if you don't want to believe what I do and you want to be wrong, go for it. Because I'll grant you that liberty because God granted you that liberty. You say, do you think you're right about everything? Yes. Yes, I do. You say, how proud? Well, for you to think I'm pride, then that means you think I'm wrong and you think you're right. You think you're right about everything too. Or you would change what you believe.
Amen.
Now, when I make a statement like that, I don't always qualify it, but I will today. I think I'm right about everything I believe, otherwise I would change it. Now, with that, I understand that I am wrong on some things, just don't know what they are yet. And as God shows me, Lord willing, I'll change it. But I don't think I'm wrong, or I would believe whatever is right. That's not pride. That's where every one of us is at. Don't you think you're right? I think you do. Or you'd believe differently. It's not proud. It's not proud for me to stand here and say Jesus Christ is the only way to have your sins forgiven.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Why? Because Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's not pride. That's fact. You don't have to agree with it. You can be wrong if you want. You see what I'm saying? If you want to be wrong about that, go ahead, but here's the facts. Here's the truth. So I just want to help us understand liberty. I hope that was a help to you. Read that article for you there. We'll get back to our Bible study here. Hopefully not next week, we'll be gone. But the week after, we'll jump back into our Bible study. But I did come across that article, wanted to share it with us, hopefully teach us some things and help us to understand the principles of liberty. By the way, if there's those in here that think that stuff like this shouldn't be preached from a pulpit, then you have already been silenced by what is called the Johnson Amendment. And KLBJ implemented this in the, I think it was the early 60s. I'm 64 maybe, but it's typically called the Johnson Amendment. And what it does is if you want, you know, government welfare,
right,
is what it is. And I can get you the court case that says that essentially that that's what it is. It was Bob Jones University versus, I think, South Carolina. But seeking that 501c3 tax exempt status, with that, it said that they cannot violate fundamental public policy, but also they can't necessarily, I forget the wording of it, but they can't support, you know, political candidates or anything like that. What was the purpose of it? Because the Baptist churches in Texas were standing against Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson. And he wanted to silence them because they were against him. He was just like an ungodly man. He was. All right, and they were like, no. And all the Baptist churches in Texas were standing against him and speaking out against him. And he said, we can't have this. We've got to silence these churches. So we're going to give them this, you know, this great benefit, which they sold them a bill of goods because churches have always been non-taxable.
Amen.
Okay. And when in the colonial days, when they tried to bring in this tax-exempt status, and throughout America's history even, I think even back in the 1920s, if I remember right, the senators at the time said, you can't tax God, because they wanted to tax churches. They said, you can't tax God. Why would they say something like that? Here's the reason why. Because a lower authority never, never taxes a higher authority.
Amen.
Never. That is like your children. I'm talking, you got a 10-year-old, okay? That is like your 10-year-old child telling you, Mom, Dad, your rent is now $500 a month. What are most parents going to do? Laugh at their kid first. Maybe if the kid's serious about it, end up whooping them. But what a joke. Who are you to tell me that I'm paying you rent? Get out of here. Go do your homework. That's what's going to happen. Why? Because a lower authority never taxes a higher authority. Never. That's why they said you can't tax God. God's the highest authority there is. The earth is the Lord and the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So what's happened, if you think that a preacher shouldn't be talking politics, is you've already bought into that line given by most mainstream churches today, or just bought that with, man, hook, line, and sinker. They've been sold on that thing.
Yep.
What I'm saying, I know preachers that would get that have gotten mad at me for saying the things that I say. But there was something in the colonial days known as the black-robed regiment.
Yep.
Because a lot of preachers back then would wear black robes when they preach. And that's where the news was disseminated from. That's what stoked the fires of the revolution as well.
Amen.
It was in the pulpits of America. That's what was going on. And you've got just a bunch of soft preachers today that won't stand up and say things and teach people things, educate people. And that's what we're here for. Look, if we lose our liberties, we don't get to preach the gospel. And by the way, we preach the gospel here. We go out regular. I mean, today we're not, because we give ourselves a break. I don't want to wear everybody out. So first Sunday of the month, we take off. We go out every other Saturday. We go out on Fridays downtown about once a month. We've started that now with the warmer weather, and we go preach the gospel. So we're not just like hiding out in here, not going and reaching the world. We're actually active in preaching the gospel. But we need educated people that understand these things so we can maintain these things and keep them. But this means Americans need to start to think this way. That means even lost people need to think this way. And this is how most Americans used to think, whether they were saved or lost. They understood liberty. And no, that's a violation of my rights. And they may be like, no, that's against my rights. That's against my rights. But it is. And we need to understand that. We need to understand why we have these rights. Where these rights came from. They're not given by government.
Amen.
The only thing that our Bill of Rights did was recognize rights that are given to us by God. That's it. They just recognize rights that we already have. All right? So we absolutely ought to be teaching this stuff, because guess where they're not getting it? Our kids aren't getting it in school.
Amen.
Most adults I talk with about this don't understand these things. There's some out there, but it's getting less and less with the liberal leanings. Our media's not teaching it, and most people just, like, whatever the media says, they're just like zombies with whatever the TV tells them to think. But this is conservative Fox News. No, we got to start thinking. We need to understand these truths for ourselves and not let Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity teach us what is right. And I'm not saying some of the things they say are right. A lot of what they're for isn't. I mean, I don't even listen to them. I used to listen to them years ago, but I don't anymore. So just understand that. Even the many of the conservatives out there don't understand the principles of liberty either, even though they may champion for them at times. And hey, thank God for that. I'm glad. If there's those out there that don't fully understand them, but they're championing for our cause, hey, just let them be. Good. Keep going that way. I like it. Amen. We want that. If a Democrat is championing for it, good. I'm for it. Amen. Go ahead. I want liberty. I want my kids to have liberty. All right.